Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
By the way, all three teams that won yesterday were plus on the turnover table. Dallas was plus two. Minnesota and Buffalo were plus one. So, you know, we can talk endlessly about all these different factors in football. It so many times comes down to, do you win the turnover battle? And if you do, you're probably going to win. And if you win it like plus two, like Dallas did, you may win by double digits. But that turnovers are just the all equalizer, all time equalizer in the NFL. Let's jump to Dallas, New York, because New York got out to an early lead. It was 13-7, Giants at the break, and then the Cowboys scored 21 in the second half and kind of put the thing away. Where are you on Dallas? Because Dallas is really interesting. The 49ers went there last year in the playoffs, and they just said, you know what? We're running it down your throat. And they did. And now here he is a year later, and Dallas still has an explosive team on both sides of the ball, but they're 26th in the NFL at stopping the run. They did a pretty good job yesterday on Saquon Barkley. He only went for 3.5 a carry. But what do you make of Dallas? I mean, Dallas's O-line's a little dinged up. Their defense, you can run on them. To me, they seem like a bully team, and everybody was so impressed by that 40-3 wipeout win of the Vikings in Minneapolis. But I just think that Kirk Cousins struggles with pressure, and Kirk Cousins' offensive line got overwhelmed by Dallas's pressure, and things just snowballed. But where are you on the Cowboys as a Super Bowl contender? They're what, 8-3, 6-1 at home, or 5-1 at home, maybe. They're playing really good football. They've got maybe the defensive player of the year in the league. They've done some good things in the draft. I mean, Damone Clark at LSU and then redshirting him for a year. Now they've got him, and he's a phenomenal backer. He's made 7 tackles in the game yesterday. They've done a really nice job. Will McCray in their front office has done a real nice job. But where are you on the Cowboys as a Super Bowl contender?
Let me start offensively. I am, when you watch the game plan, to the contrast of the Packers and the Vikings weeks with the Cowboys. 28-14, you got a lead heading into the fourth quarter. Look at Prescott's numbers. When Kellen Moore doesn't get caught up into the thought process that he wants to be a head coach, I'm not saying he consciously thinks about that, but every coordinator I know, you want to show your stuff. And when they had Cooper Rush, what did he do? He had to slow it down, didn't expand because he knew he couldn't. When you get Dak Prescott, you know you can. Well, you're up 28-14. I don't know why you would betray what you do best, in my opinion, the identity of this team. Run the football and go disrupt and wreck the game with Micah Parsons and rushing the passer. Well, in that game, he threw 40-plus times, and they got, in the end, it cost him. It drives me nuts. Well, Minnesota, look at the numbers. Prescott threw it 25 times, completed 22. They ran it what felt like time after time after time, and they dominated the line of scrimmage and put Cousins in a half to throw, and it didn't work. Sacked him 7 times, and I think Parsons had a couple of them. That's when they're at their best. Defensively, Dan Quinn gets it. But if you're a team like Tampa starting to discover last couple weeks their run game, where they're physical at the point of attack in the run game, and you don't let the pass rush take over a game, I think you're right in it. Now, Brady's one of the few. that can throw it 50 times and still beat you. But they need to tone that down because they're protection at the offensive line. 49ers, Kyle wants to run it now with this wealth of riches and embarrassment of riches offensively. I'm with you. They can deploy it too. The key is when you're playing the Cowboys, you can't get pass happy because Parsons himself can disrupt. We got a handful of those guys. I played against two of them when I was playing, Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor. We got guys like Micah Parsons, Bosa, and the guys who can take over a game when they know exactly where your launch point is and what you're doing. With Cousins, you know where it's going to be, and they took care of their business. So I think the Cowboys, is if they get a little more stout in the run defense. Now, I don't know how you fix it at this point if it's physicality-wise, but Dan Quinn's pretty smart. And they feasted off turnovers last year, and if they can do that in the second half of the season, they're dangerous. And Prescott, when he protects the ball, as you mentioned, the plus-minus stuff, they can win because their identity, when Kellen Moore keeps them in rhythm of running the ball, winning on first down, mixing in play action, Prescott's a better player. Made some throws yesterday after throwing the ball to the other team and throwing it late and underthrowing one on the left sideline. So I think the Cowboys are dangerous. I'm not sure I trust them in a shootout yet. Honestly, I don't know if I trust them in a shootout simply because I know that they're going to throw me a couple if I'm a Cowboys fan. Stay in rhythm in the run game and use that as your identity. The Cowboys are going to be fine. I think they're a dangerous team and one of the three best in the NFC right now.
We're just starting our football conversation. Larry Kruger, Sean Salisbury sitting in for Damon and Ratto on this Black Friday. We'll take a break right here, but I'd like to open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. All right. I'm going to hand you a $100 bill and I'm going to basically, we're going to pretend we're in the middle of a casino. Here's a C note and you have to walk to the window right now. And you have to hand it to the person and say, these two teams will be playing in Glendale, Arizona, first week in February for the Super Bowl. Who are your two teams? I'd love to hear from the audience, 888-957-9570. I'd also love to hear from Sean and get his thoughts on that. We'll continue talking a little bit about some of these teams around the NFL that are Super Bowl contenders on paper. But what is their weakness? Then I want to get Sean's thoughts on Zach Wilson and the quarterback class that includes Wilson and Mac Jones, who played exceptionally yesterday, as well as Trey Lance. We want his thoughts on that as well. But up next, who are your two teams for the Super Bowl? Who's going to Glendale, Arizona and going to fight it out for the Super Bowl first week in February? We'll take a break right here. And of course, this segment has been sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services. Larry Kruger, Sean Salisbury sitting in for Damon and Ratto today on Black Friday on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Well, welcome back, Damon and Ratto, on this Black Friday. Larry Kruger and Sean Salisbury sitting in for the boys who are vacationing. And by the way, I'm watching the little Cal UCLA. You know, you say what you want about Justin Wilcox. Cal's 4-7.
Yep.
They don't get they're great as an underdog. They're like one of the hardest teams to blow out. They just hang around. They're up 28-27 on the Bruins with about 10 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, giving Chip Kelly's boys all they want and then some. I mean, Wilcox, you know, they don't recruit like some of the other teams in this conference, but man, Justin Wilcox is a really good defensive coach, and they're hard to blow out. They always hang.
They are. Every time my team Southern Cal gets to play them, I don't like it, because there's always that thought that he's going to shut them down, that they'll come up with a few stops and turnovers, and they'll make a few plays. I think he's a hell of a football coach. I think Cal's got a good one, and they have for a minute. And he's got a little football in his DNA anyway, but he knows how to coach it, and it seems like they respond to him. And the Pac-12 this year, and I know his record's not where it wants to be, but the Pac-12 this year is far deeper and far better than we all thought going into this season. So I like Justin. In a losing season, his team is a smart football team, and they're only going to get better. I'm a fan.
Well, and his daddy, of course, was before your time, but Dave Wilcox was the real deal as a linebacker. All right, we're talking Super Bowl and the race for the Super Bowl, and it seems like it changes every week. And we were talking a little bit about the Thursday games we watched yesterday. There's a lot of talk that OBJ is going to be a Cowboy. Jerry Jones is recruiting him. Dak Prescott's recruiting him. I think Dallas needs him badly. I mean, look at, Michael Gallup really had a nice day yesterday, but CeeDee Lamb can't do it by himself. And yeah, they got Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson, some nice receiving tight ends. But man, the number two receiver position has not been great for the Cowboys this year. Let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, that OBJ winds up in Dallas. Does that push them over the top, or is he not that kind of a difference maker in your mind?
I still think it makes a difference. I mean, I know the Cowboys would hope that the end result is the same kind of urgent impact he made with the Rams, and unfortunately the way it ended was a bummer, but with the injury. But what he does is, even if he doesn't catch balls, his presence changes the way you have to defend, because he can still run and make spectacular plays and run after the catch. I think that's one of, you had mentioned, we'll get to it later on, about weaknesses for some of these playoff teams. That's one for the Cowboys. Lamb's good. Gallup's a good player. But if you squeeze them and take Lamb out of the game, they're not overly explosive in the passing game. They just aren't. And we are at a time now when that has to be an explosive part of people's game, and the ability to separate regularly. And what Beckham does is, if he's on the field as a defensive coordinator preparing for the week, you got to say, okay, you got a guy who can still take the top off. Because in truth, They're not a team that you go in and play them. For instance, if the 49ers play the Cowboys in a, you know, we're in the playoffs, you're not worried that they're going to vertically run by you like you would if when you're playing the Miami Dolphins right now, or when you're playing Tom Brady's team when they get going, or when with Tyreek Hill, you know, has the football, or when Patrick Mahomes, who can outthrow coverage, or when Stephon Diggs, guys who can run right by you but can also beat you in between the numbers as well by taking the ball the distance on slants. They're not that type of team. They're just not. So Beckham adds a presence and a home run hitter. I think you can win hitting singles and doubles. I'm not sure you can win a Super Bowl without at some point in time being able to hit the ball into the upper tank, to use a baseball term. I think you have to do that, and I don't think the Cowboys' biggest strength, I think it's one of their weaknesses, the inability to take over a game weekly at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, ask Michael Irvin how important Alvin Harper was to him all those years.
He knows.
You know, he knows. Yes, yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is one of the top five target share receivers in pro football because the guys opposite him haven't done the job. I mentioned that Gallup had a good day yesterday. He had not had a 50-yard receiving day all season until yesterday. James Washington's been out with a fractured foot. Noah Brown was second on their team in receiving yards over nine games. So OBJ is a good fit there.
Larry, until about 3 weeks ago, they didn't have a receiver that had a 100-yard game.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm almost positive it was 3 weeks ago, maybe it was, we were talking about in Green Bay. I don't think at that point in time they'd had a 100-yard receiver in a game. Now, maybe I'm crazy, but if that's the stat I heard on the broadcast, it's alarming, but they can still win, but they're going to need that home run hitter. I just wanted to put that in. They are, and if Beckham goes there, like I said, they hope the end result is the same way the season ended for the Rams.
Before we hammer down on some of these Super Bowl contenders, give me your thoughts on the night game last night. I didn't watch this game, Pats and Vikings, because we were right in the middle of dinner, and it just seemed like, you know, bad form to be, you know, we had watched already two complete football games, and now I was like, okay, let's enjoy each other as a family. You know, I couldn't run into the other room, but wait, Mac Jones is throwing for 400. It wasn't going to play well. But what do you make of the Vikings as a Super Bowl contender? Because, you know, I mean, Cousins has struggled this year against pressure. Darisaw, his top tackle, was out. They were the only team to have that good of a record. You know, I think 8-1, they shot out of the chute. They were still negative in point differential. It's like the Vikings, I can't decide if the Vikings are underrated or overrated, but you know, they do have receivers. Justin Jefferson's as good as it gets. Thielen, they picked up Hawkinson from Detroit. They picked up Jalen Reagor from the Eagles. They've got some weapons. Dalvin Cook running the football, though he struggled running it yesterday against New England. But what do you make of Minnesota as a Super Bowl contender? Or how viable are they?
Oh, when you count up weapons, and that's not going to be the reason they don't make it if they don't. You know, they were looking for a signature win. They went into Buffalo and got it, right? People were saying, well, what about a signature win? And the reason why they don't get the respect that maybe they deserve is because we keep waiting for what we saw last week. 40-3, Cousins doesn't take over. And they've faced some backup quarterbacks. I'm on in Minnesota every week. And it is, you know, they even at 8-1, you get the, well, we've played some backups and this is going to be this test of the schedule when they went to Cowboys and Buffalo and the Cowboys, New England coming was going to be, we were going to find out about them. So that being said, they got weapons. Can the question's going to loom till January. Who are they when they need a minute 30 left, they need that drive? Will he make that throw? And it's not just him, but that's the stigma, and that is the perception of this franchise. But they've got weapons, and Kevin O'Connell's done a great job of changing culture where they're attacking more. And even though they were winning some close games, they were still winning them. So I'm okay. I said going into this week, for me, it was twofold. For the Cowboys, how were they going to handle the success of winning, you know, hanging 40 on them, coming back home in a short week, even though it's their day, Thanksgiving? How would they handle it? Well, we saw. They had their moments where they struggled, but they overcame it and put it on them yesterday. And for the Vikings, I wanted to see how they handled against a Belichick coach team. Mac Jones knows how to process information. They don't have a ton of offensive weapons, but I wanted to know how Minnesota was going to handle losing. Where were they? Where was their personality and their attitude? And they responded yesterday and played good football. So I think they're, if you said pretender, contender, I'd say contender. But I think they got a lot to do physically and in their own mind to be playing in February. I would not pick them as a favorite, but I do think that if you go in there and blink on them, they're capable of hanging a lot of points on you, and they do. We're always going to test until January. Can they handle that big moment consistently, not once in a while, consistently against playoff-caliber teams on a regular basis with starting quarterbacks that can rip it all over the lot?
Yeah, Minnesota's 9-2, but they're only plus five as far as point differential.
I mean, that right there. I think that's the worst of the playoff teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that is. I think that's it, right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about who's going to the bowl in that scenario I threw out. If I gave you a C note and said, who's going to play in Glendale, Arizona, first week in February, I'll give you a second to think about it. I'm going 49ers Ravens. I think the 49ers, since they added Christian McCaffrey, I think are a totally different team. They're 3-1 since McCaffrey's shown up. They've gone from converting 41% on third down, which is the money down in the NFL, to 55%. And I'm seeing two things. I'm seeing Jimmy Garoppolo having a safety valve that he's never had before. And then maybe it's the addition of McCaffrey. Maybe it's just the constant haranguing of the offensive coaches. But Jimmy Garoppolo has always been a guy that was really known for two things. He was known for having this unbelievable record, or at least the 49ers have an unbelievable record when he starts as a starting quarterback. Their record with Jimmy is incredible. Their record without Jimmy is equally unimpressive. And that's just reality. And I have the numbers here somewhere. I could shoot them out to you. Here it is. 36-17 when Jimmy starts since he's been a Niner. 16-54 when he's not starting. They're winning almost 68% of their games when he starts. They're winning 23% of their games when he doesn't start. And what I see, he's known for two things. That and also making the huge blunder and the huge negative play. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a guy who's firing that ball into the turf. When it's not there, when the receiver's double covered, when in the past he'd floated over the middle and it would get picked, he's throwing that ball into the ground and going to the next down, something that Brady does, Rodgers does, Mahomes does, several quarterbacks. You know, Drew Brees did it for years. Jimmy couldn't conquer this forever. And that's what I'm seeing. So I'm going Niners in the NFC because of the addition to McCaffrey and the impact it's had on Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC. I believe in Lamar. I think he'll start to play later in the year the way he played in September. And I just think that the Ravens added Roquan Smith, a true all-pro inside backer. To me, that filled just a huge need. And Eric DaCosta is just a phenomenal young GM to make that addition, to add that kind of a talent. At their number one weakness, I thought, was they didn't consistently stop the run. Now you add Roquan. So I realize they may have to go out on the road to get it done. But Baltimore's 4-1 on the road this year, and they're battle-tested. Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl, as we all know too much about, because he beat the Niners to get it. But that's what I'm going with. I'm going Niners-Ravens in the Super Bowl, a little rematch of the Harbaugh Bowl. What do you got? Who's your Super Bowl matchup here on the 25th of November?
I think there's a couple teams that are dangerous. I mentioned Miami. The question is, are we a year too soon in talking about them? But Tua's been fantastic. As long as they stay out of getting rid of the ball late, and I love Mike McDaniel, always have. I think he's brilliant. And they can do a little bit of everything well, and they scare you because they are capable of scoring a lot of points. I think they're dangerous, but they're tucked aside. And the team you mentioned, Baltimore, to add on to that, you mentioned how well coached they are. My thing is, can they... You know, they had trouble early in the season of closing out games. I think that'll be fixed. I believe in Lamar Jackson as well. But do they have enough weapons in a shootout to keep up? If you do not let Lamar kill you with his legs. Now, we can say, yeah, and if my aunt had stones, she'd be my uncle, right? So good luck with that. So if it's one of those, I question. Then on the other side, the other team in the division, I know their offensive line play, it cost them a Super Bowl, and we can go through all that. But Burrow's got ice in his veins. Those two teams in the AFC North are dangerous to me. And I the division, Cincinnati has not played well in the division. They've had some really bad games. But I think there's something about that quarterback and that team that lights up when it's like, oh, it's this moment. I think we'll elevate. The team in the AFC for me is still the guy with the MVP trophy that he's going to put on his mantle if it keeps up, and that's Kansas City. Even though they lost it, when I have teams that are fairly equal, I take the best player or the best quarterback. And Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the league. I love the coach. I love how aggressive they are, whether they're up 30 or down 7. They never play not to lose. They always play to win. I'm a big fan now. We're going to ask this about a lot of teams. Are they going to get off the field against somebody else? But Mahomes can always respond, and I think he's the best in the business at it. I'm taking Kansas City today with some dangerous teams in the NFC. I, too, am with, and it has nothing to do with me being on and you being on in San Francisco. I think they're the most dangerous team. I think McCaffrey will be talking about this move for the next decade, about what it's done for Kyle to deploy weapons. And Jimmy's not only playing with confidence, but making smart decisions down in the red zone. And the only thing, it's not the oh, my gosh, spectacular play I need Jimmy to make. It's the corner route, guys open, not throwing it out of the end zone on 3rd and 4 when you got a chance to win a championship. That's Jimmy. Just make the throw that he'd make 9 times out of 10 with a smile on his face during practice, and he's doing it now. That's the question people are going to have on him. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the most underrated, underappreciated winner in the league, and his numbers bear it out. So because he doesn't go gaudy statistics, that I could care less. A guy in a shorts and a t-shirt that throws for 400 weekly but doesn't win. If Jimmy will do this, if Kyle will keep it in the 20s throwing it and do what he does, deploying guys and moving around and getting bodies involved, defensive coordinators will go nuts. The 49ers are the favorite, and one team, my man, to keep an eye on. I'm telling you, if they head into January, or should I say December, and they've reeled off middle of December, pushing towards January, 4 or 5 in a row, you better keep an eye on Tampa and that roster. I'm just telling you. Number 12 knows how to win in January. I would not. They'd be the second team I'd bet on if I was betting on in the NFC.
Wow.
I think they fly around on defense. And if Byron Leftwich will get back to running the ball, I trust Brady. They're getting healthy on the perimeter. I think that team, they got to take care of their business. But I'm just telling you, that is a dangerous team if they win 4 or 5 in a row and start to feel it, because Brady always needs just one thing to get him pissed. He looks relaxed again these last couple weeks. I think Tampa's dangerous. Be careful if they're on a 5-game roll. 49ers, Chiefs for me. I'll go back to, what was it, 3 years ago, rematch in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, God. And that was that game, that was another frustrating game. By the way,
yep.
I've located Damon's soundboard. And look what's on Damon's soundboard, Sean.
It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and 3 toes. I will beat your ass.
one of the great lines of all time. All time. All right, what do you make of the Eagles? We haven't talked about the Eagles. I'm sure if you're Steinmetz and you're driving around listening to this, what about the freaking Eagles? What do you think of the Eagles? I mean, Jalen Hurts has been phenomenal this year. Let's be honest.
Yep.
He has taken several steps forward. I think he is really trustworthy. But recently, they have struggled against teams that throw them, the zone. I mean, different zones, but they're struggling against the zone, trying to make plays against the zone. Now Dallas Goedert's out, so they lose their tight end. But what do you make of the Eagles? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, wait a second, you're talking about Dallas and you're talking about Minnesota and Sean's hailing Tampa Bay and you guys are talking up the Niners. What about the 9-1 Eagles, the number one seed today? What do you make of them? What's their main weakness in your mind?
If it was right now, like I said, the Tampa Bay, I'd take the Eagles right now over Tampa because I think the Eagles are deeper. But the quarterback in a single if it was a single elimination game and all these quarterbacks had the same roster, I'd still take number 12 in Tampa because I know he knows how to win it. Even though he's not the best quarterback anymore, we know what he does in January. There's just something different if all the rosters were the same. But I think Philadelphia, 2 weeks ago I had them as the number one team in football. I'm not quitting on it. I was going to get to them, and I'm glad you mentioned them. And Steinmetz should be like, what are you guys talking about? Oh, I'm not quitting on them. I'd take the Eagles over the Cowboys in a playoff game right now. I'd take them over the Vikings. I think the 49ers and Eagles would have a hell of a battle right now. And I think home field advantage may help. I mean, that situation in the NFL, unlike the Golden State Warriors, that does matter to me. And I think it matters to Philadelphia. Here's the reason why zone's tough. And here's why, if I'm a defensive coordinator like a D'Amico Ryans or these people play against Philadelphia, why zone is a good way to go about it. Especially, you play Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Joe Montana and Peyton Manning. They just, Warren Moon, who was a teammate of mine, they'll outpatient the patient. They're willing to take 8 checkdowns and beat you. They are willing to do that and go through their progression, check down, shallow cross, check down, flat. And eventually the defensive coordinator or the guys out there get a little nosy and boom, Brady hits a pump seam for a touchdown. Or Peyton Manning runs play action fake and hits Dallas Clark on a bender down the middle at the 25-yard line. But if you drop your Mike linebacker back into coverage, they'll check it down. What happens with young quarterbacks, when you're in a blitz mode, think about how good, and I'm with you, Jalen Hurts is a top 5 MVP guy. The stats aren't gaudy, but the performance has been really good. And I don't know why we mark teams down. They didn't play well against the Colts, but they won in the end. I find out more about a team that way than I do about winning 40-3 once in a while and can't handle it when you're up 28-14. So I do like Philadelphia. I think they got a plenty of weapons to win it. Their defense can get after the quarterback. They are well coached, and their quarterback is as poised as any in the league. When I say poised, nothing flusters him all the way from his freshman year in college. So the reason you zone up teams like that, going through progressions for quarterbacks that are still in the learn. It's only a second year in this system with this coach. Think about what happened. You got to go 1, 2, 3. What Jalen Hurts or guys that are so gifted, and he's become a better passer, is you lean on your crutch sooner. So you'll bail out when the third guy may be coming wide open on a backside dig because you know your legs can beat you. But what happens in zone? If you're a disciplined zone, those 25-yard blitz and you miss the first guy, run for 25 yards, now become 7-yard runs, 5-yard runs, a possible sack because they bail early. I'm not saying he does all the time, but that's the tendency. So when you play him against man, AJ beats you. You get guys that can beat you. You miss the tackle on a draw play or an inside zone, the guy runs for a touchdown. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he and Tua were as maligned, not named Baker Mayfield, and Jimmy from last year going into the season as anybody. Jimmy wasn't supposed to start. But look what Tua and Hurts have done. I can make an argument for both in the MVP race, and look how they've done with their teams and their leading. If anybody decides right now that because Philadelphia hadn't looked pretty the last 3 weeks, they are making a huge mistake, I assure you.
So Dallas has got a questionable run D and maybe no second wide receiver. Minnesota's got some O-line issues. Can Cousins handle handle pressure? He turns the ball over. His numbers under pressure against pressure are not good. The Eagles can he handle zone defenses? Can they deal with some of the injuries that they're having late in the year? Dallas, we already mentioned the second wide receiver. Bucks O-line. What's the Niners' number one weakness in your mind?
I don't think they have a glaring one. I don't. I think that when the obvious injury, the obvious weakness was a month ago, how healthy were they going to be? I would love them to dominate the line of scrimmage a little more than run. I would. I mean, I know they can. I want them to dominate the run game and continue to dominate it up front and protect. As long as that offensive line, the continuity of those five come together and they stay healthy, I think they're going to be fine. And to make sure, when you lose some guys on the defensive front, because going in, we thought their front seven was as good as any in the league. Look what Washington's down four are doing to defenses now to keep them in game. So if that's the weakness, and people are going to point to, well, Jimmy can't get into a shootout and throw with the big throwers in the league. Well, Jimmy may never have to, but to me, when they say, well, 22 of 25 or 24 of 29 for 222 yards and no picks and a touchdown or 2 touchdowns and protecting the ball in the red zone and coming away with points, I can live there, especially with the way they can deploy their players. So for the 40s, nothing glaring, just to make sure the interior on both sides of the ball remain physical, because what can happen with McCaffrey and Debo and now with their ability to be multiple – is you don't ever want to lose the one thing that I know. There's two things I know are going to happen when the Super Bowl champion's crowned. They're going to be able to punch you right in your mouth. Whoever wins it will have been a team to punch you in your mouth. Or you're going to have a quarterback that plays out of his friggin' mind. Stafford late last year, because really the Rams, they weren't exactly the most physical team offensive line, but they were so finesse, and Aaron Donald could take over games. 49ers have that in them, and Jimmy's a better protector of the football in my mind than Stafford. I think Stafford's great. So being physical and not getting caught up into, we got all these weapons now, do not lose your identity, and we know what that is with the 49ers.
Well, we are lucky to have Sean Salisbury with us, former NFL quarterback, and I got to get his thoughts coming up next on Jimmy G. Jimmy G is playing really well, maybe playing the best stretch that he's ever played with the 49ers. Is he playing so well that the 49ers will opt to actually trade Trey Lance this offseason and go with Jimmy G? We'll talk a little bit about Garoppolo, why he's had growth in his game, why it took him so long to get to this point in his growth as an NFL quarterback. And then top of the hour, Jordan Elliott's going to join us from Niners Nation. He wrote a phenomenal piece on what Jimmy is doing on third down this year compared to previous years. I think it really illustrates Garoppolo's turnaround. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Niners, of course, getting ready for the Saints on Sunday. I did see today Eric Armstead was not practicing today. Debo Samuel limited in practice yesterday, also limited on Wednesday, but they're saying he is on track to suit up Sunday, but no practice again today for Eric Armstead, no practice for Samson Ebukam, so the Niners are still down a couple of D linemen as they get ready for the Red Rifle. Andy Dalton and the Saints will be at Levi's on Sunday. All right, we'll take a break right here. We'll come back with more. Larry Kruger, Sean Salisbury sitting in for Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Larry Kruger and Sean Salisbury sitting in for Damon and Ratto on this Black Friday. Hopefully everybody's coming off their tryptophan, malaise from eating too much turkey. And today, I always felt like turkey was better on Friday than it even is on Thursday. You know what I mean? It's great on Thanksgiving, but man, the hot turkey sandwiches with the, you know, you get the gravy and you heat up the turkey day two. Oh, man, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it.
And the stuffing that sits wild, same way, man. I'm not sure that the second day doesn't even taste. It's like when you have spaghetti. You know what I mean, Larry? You get that spaghetti. You cook a big pot and you let it sit. You eat it. Then the next day after you heat it up, after it's kind of sat in there and festered overnight, and it's like, man, the second day is just as good at lunch. So I'm with you on the second day fixings and food and turkey sandwich, my brother.
Oh, all my day. Goodness. Yeah, all day. All day, all day, all night. 10 minutes from now, Jordan Elliott is going to join us from Niners Nation. He wrote a great piece on Garoppolo on third down. All right, if you go into an NFL locker room, it doesn't matter if you're going up to a offensive player or a defensive player. The game is about making a play. It's not about excuses. It's not about injuries. It's about making plays. And if you go up to any player, offense or defense, and say, hey, man, it's about making plays, and you know, you start talking about making plays, you'll get the nod and agreement because guys understand it's about making plays. But we don't really talk that much about how a key element of playing quarterback in the NFL is not just making plays, it's not making huge negative plays. And to me, Jimmy Garoppolo, if you want to say growth from one year to the next, Garoppolo, by the way, this year ranks fourth in the NFL with a 104 passer rating, fourth overall in the NFL. There was a Cardinal coach last week that after their game in Mexico City, Sean, came out and said, in my opinion, San Fran, which we never call it San Fran, by the way, never ever say San Fran.
Right.
You'd be better
right.
off with Frisco.
Right.
Don't go Frisco either. But he says, in my opinion, San Fran has the best run game in the league. It's a physical-ass run game, 19 and 23. Not sure which of them are tougher to cover. So outside of that San Fran, I think that's a pretty pretty interesting comment. But right. I just think that Jimmy has had real growth, Sean, from the standpoint of he used to float it over the middle, late in the down, and into double coverage, sometimes into a crowd, into a crowded zone, and make a colossal error. Now, he was known for his resiliency to bounce back from those colossal errors, but it was like he had to make the colossal error. And this year, what I'm seeing more than anything is he's still doing a lot of the same things he's done, except now he's throwing that ball into the turf, and he's throwing that ball away, and he's going on to the next down. And you played quarterback for a long time, so I got to ask you, why has this been such a hard lesson for him to learn? Brady does it. Rodgers did it. Does it. Breeze did it. It's a major prerequisite of playing quality quarterback in the NFL is know when to throw it away and move on to the next play. He has never been able to understand the risk-reward and cure himself of it until this recent stretch. Why?
I think a lot of it comes to, I'm not just saying him, a lot of us that you know that play it, you get to a point where you think, and you hear it enough that, what do we, well, let me just ask you this, and Larry, let me make a point, is when you think about the best players in this league at that position, or the one the perception is why they're great, what do we always talk about? Off schedule and spectacular, right?
Right.
Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, the guys who do stuff.
Herbert.
Uncommon things that look common. Right. Herbert's another one. And the guy, oh, yeah, the guy who protects the football, the guy who takes the check down, the guy who's willing on his second hitch instead of throw it late down the middle, which I train quarterbacks all over. And from the eighth grade on or seventh grade on, we say never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never throw late down the middle. And when in doubt, throw it to your mom in the stands and live to play another down. Sometimes that's the best play in football. But what if I transferred it one step further and said this? And Bob mentioned it in his interview about basketball and guys like Wiseman, young players. We are in society and sports now that because of like Mahomes, and it took Allen really 3 years to get going, the expectations we place on these guys to be Peyton Manning. Manning threw 28 damn picks in his first year. John Elway got booed in Denver. Troy Aikman was like 1-11, and they thought they were going to start Steve Walsh after they drafted him in the supplemental draft. I know Jimmy's been in it for a minute, but think about this now. He's the only quarterback that I know of two of the last 3 years has been under center in two NFC championship games in the NFL, in the NFC. Matter of fact, in the entire NFL, I think. He's the only one. Now, I know that the Mahomes has been under center in the AFC, in four straight AFC championship games. Is there another quarterback in the NFC who's been to two NFC championship games the last 3 years?
No.
And here's what we get. Here's what we get. And you hear it. Oh, yeah, they got there in spite of Jimmy. Have you noticed? I said this last week. We went through this here, and a guy I love, and I'm sure you guys up there do too, Dusty Baker. Well, yep. When we went through Dusty, when they win 106 times, win a World Series, it was never Dusty. Oh, even though he made brilliant moves in the postseason with his pitching staff, because the history of Dusty when he's lost at times has been managing a pitching staff, and they had the best pitching staff from number 1 to 13 all year long. Fact, they just did. And bullpen starter. And so, but when they lose, guess whose fault it was? When a guy throws a cement mixer and it gets hit up or tank, it was Dusty's fault. Same thing with Jimmy. I can tell you this, they may not have got there because of Jimmy, but they sure as hell didn't get there in spite of him. And so what happens is sometimes guys take a little longer to get where they want, back in the system. Remember, he's had injuries that have slowed him down. I'm not an apologist for Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance is more spectacular. But I know a lot of guys are spectacular, don't win Super Bowls. And Trey May and all these other – Josh Allen hadn't won one yet. He's spectacular. Lamar Jackson hadn't won one yet. Joe Burrow hasn't won one yet. Well, Joe's in the infancy of his career. I get it. Our expectations are ridiculous. If Jimmy plays like this, it'll be good enough, Larry. I'm just telling – now, if the other quarterback has an out-of-body experience or they get two turnovers on a fumble, well, that's out of Jimmy's hand. But somebody will blame it on Jimmy. I just know how that goes. So I am the reason why sometimes it takes a while to understand. I think it was Steve Young. It might have been Steve or somebody else years ago who said, just when you figure it out mentally, physically, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Now Brady can do both. These guys are playing longer. My point is maybe Jimmy, and think what he's gone through, Larry. Think what he's gone through. He's gone through being benched, talking about traded, sit there, don't show up to training, all these things that he wasn't supposed to start. At some point in time, you say, let me use this to my advantage. He looks like he's playing relaxed, free, knows that he can throw a check down that can turn into a 50-yard touchdown to McCaffrey or Debo or a shallow cross. It almost feels like he's kind of comfortable now that he's not in competition. He's building a resume, whether it's for San Francisco or somebody else, and the players love him. I just think some guys don't. Some guys go about their developmental process or what they see different than everybody. Everybody's not Mahomes. Everybody's not Joe Montana. And maybe Jimmy's fine. Look at Geno Smith. He's playing his best football now, and he was a journeyman for 5 years. So we're finally starting to see Jimmy do it. Now, when you get and you're playing Mahomes, you don't have to be Mahomes. Just don't give him the football all the time with a stupid turnover. So I like Jimmy, and I think if he plays like he's playing now, they are capable without having to be spectacular 50 yards down the field of winning a championship. And some guys develop a little later and say, oh, the light switch went on. I finally understand. And they've given him weapons, and he's the guy. He's not looking over his shoulder. Unfortunate the way Trey got hurt. So I'm beside myself when it's always Jimmy's fault. Even when it's not Jimmy's fault. Accountability is one thing, but Jimmy Garoppolo deserves a pat on the back for the way he's played these last 3 years, let alone the way he's playing now. And he may be playing the most efficient football of his career.
You know, and I've had a chance this year, covering the 49ers and going down to Santa Clara and getting a chance on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays to go down and talk to the players face to face to a man. And trust me when I say this, they love Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
He has a real presence. I'm not saying they don't love Trey Lance. They have great respect and affinity for Trey Lance, but they love Jimmy Garoppolo. And Steve Young said it last week on the radio. He says, I don't want Jimmy around here for the next few months. I want him here for the next 10 years.
So and why not?
If you're John, Lynch, though, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to trade Trey Lance at the end of the year?
Yeah, and that's the thing. What Jimmy's doing is making it a very difficult decision.
Yep.
Larry, and you make a great point. So does Steve. Listen, the job for Jimmy, who doesn't want to create a situation where you put so much pressure on an organization? And it's nothing against Trey. Trey may end up being a superstar here. Or just like Jordan Love, when depending on what happens with Aaron Rodgers the next years, maybe Jordan Love turns into a phenomenal player like Rodgers did when he sat the bench. If Trey Lance, who's been banged up and still trying to learn, we haven't seen enough of him to even pass any judgment on him if he's going to be good or not. But he's still they love him, obviously. But what happens when your glove was left on the mound for whatever reason? Poor play, Jameis Winston, injury, Trey Lance. But Jimmy didn't get beat out. That's no disrespect, Trey Lance. Jimmy did not get beat out. He didn't like they went to training camp and said, here's competition. Jimmy was the recipient of, we traded a bunch of guys away because you missed some throws in some big games, and we think that this guy can bust through the ceiling, and he may very well be that guy. But Jimmy didn't get beat out. Jimmy made some self-inflicted errors, but he also helped get them there. So the goal now is to win a championship. But every single game, you're putting up a resume that says, all right, now you guys at the end of the year, you made a decision on me last year. Now make this one. Well, you want to go get a first rounder for Trey Lance? Fine. You want to keep him and develop him? Or now you can possibly trade me for a second or a low number one if somebody like Carolina or one of these teams or the Jets decide to quit on Zach Wilson and say, we'll take Jimmy for the next 5 years. So that's what you're doing, and there's pride and ego involved. But Jimmy feels like he can't lose now, meaning in his mind, like, hell, what else do you want me to face? So, listen, Steve's right. Steve understands accuracy. Steve didn't have the strongest arm in the world, great athleticism, and is as accurate a quarterback we've ever seen, he and Drew Brees. But Steve understands quarterback play, and when the light goes on, Steve had to back up for a minute, too. And so here you go. You got weapons. You got a guy who's efficient with the football. Jimmy keeps doing this. John, who could be the executive of the year this year, and Kyle Shanahan are going to be faced with a serious decision, and there will be takers for both. Depends on what you're willing to part with now at the age and the salary.
Yep, no question about it. And on that note, welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.